WVW Broadcast Network and WVW Foundation are pleased to present A Traditional Christmas with Brannon House.
Thank you. All right, Libby.
The night wind to the little lamb. Do you see what I see? Way up in the sky, little lamb. Do you see what I see? A star, dancing in the night with a tail as big as a kite. With a tail as big as a kite. Said the little lamb to the shepherd boy, do you hear what I hear? Ringing through the sky, shepherd boy, do you hear what I hear? A song, high above the tree with a voice as big as the sea. With a voice as big as the sea. Said the shepherd boy to the mighty king, do you know what I know? In your palace warm, mighty king, tonight. For Christ is born of Mary and gathered all above. While mortals sleep, the angels keep their watch of wondering love. O morning stars, gather, proclaim the holy birth, and praises sing to God the King, and peace to men on earth.
Dead nor gone, he sleeps. The Lord.
some captive Israel that mourns in lowly exile until the Son of God appears. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, Holy Israel. Comfort from afar, dispel the shadows of the night, and turn our darkness into light. Rejoice, rejoice. pray, bless all the dear children. In thy tender care, and take us to heaven to live with thee
there. So as you know, Delta, my yellow lab, she's on a MyPillow pet bed off to the right all the time. Occasionally there's a wide shot and she's missing, and I actually see the shot you're seeing in front of me, and I'm like, where's my dog? And then I realize that someone's taken her out to play or taken to feed her or whatever they're doing. So usually in a commercial break I call and say, please bring my dog up. People are wondering where she's at. She is a paid spokesperson. She needs to be here. She literally gets checks in the mail. No joke. Doesn't she, Melissa? She literally gets checks made out to Delta House for $10 every few months with a note to her and then PS to me to go buy her some bones. And she gets scarves with her name on it. She gets more gifts than I get. But that's all right. She's quite popular. So when I get up to go anywhere else, she follows me. She has a couple of my pillow beds stationed around. So, because literally, if I go into a room where I was in the other day in a recliner working and there was other people in there, she came into the center of the room and she just stared at me. And I thought, well, you've already been out. You've already eaten. You don't need water. Go lay down. She kept coming back up to that chair and staring at me over and over. And this is not a wagging the tail stare. This is she's irritated. I'm thinking to myself, what is wrong with her? Wait a minute. She doesn't have a MyPillow pet bed in this room. I literally get up, go down the hall, grab a MyPillow pet bed, drop it in the floor. She turns three circles, lays down. She's fine. She literally will tell us she needs her dog bed. So we've had to station those around the room. So I go down the hall to record this album, and I walk in, and she follows me everywhere she does. I close the door, and I'm like, all right, you ready, John? He's like, yep, let's do this. And Delta's standing in the center of the room giving me that same look, thinking to myself, are you kidding me? So I have to stop, go down the hall, get on my pillow, drop it at the floor. And I'm recording with a microphone and a stand just like this, and she has to have it right there. So I just want you guys to know this whole album has been recorded with Delta literally at my feet. So tonight, so Delta's not here in the building. She's here with us, but she's not here in the building. She's maybe just a little too big for that. But I do have another family member. Should I bring the other one out?
Yes.
All right, let me put this down. She's really checking you guys out. What do you think of that? She's a mini schnauzer. She's the smartest dog in the world, next to Delta. She is adorable, isn't she? So this is my daughter's dog, Pearl. And she's literally back here watching. So Delta can't be here, Pearl is. So join me in thanking Pearl for making an appearance tonight. Can you come back here now, Pearl? All right, come on back. All right, you're very well trained. That's not true.
us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Christ the Lord. Oh, come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Oh, come ye, oh, come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of angels. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Christ the Lord.
Let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Christ the Lord. Yeah. Let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him.
Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon Virgin, Mother and Child, Holy Infant, so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace, sleep in heavenly peace. Silent night, from thy holy face, with the dawn of redeeming grace. Jesus, Lord, at thy birth, Jesus, Lord, thy
little Jesus boy, they made you be born in a manger. Sweet little holy child, didn't know who you were.
Didn't know you'd come to save us, Lord, to take our sins away. Our eyes were blind, we couldn't see. We didn't know
seems like we can't do right. Look how we treated you. But listen, forgive us, Lord.
We didn't know it was you. child. And we didn't know
are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Christ was born.
and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven, heaven, nature sing. Joy to the world, the Savior raised. Let men their songs employ, while fields and floods, rocks, hills, and plains repeat the sounding joy. Repeat the sounding joy. The sounding joy. No more let sins and sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the crown. He comes to make his blessings flow, far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found. His love, and wonders of his love, and wonders, wonders of his love, and wonders, wonders of his
Please stay tuned for a special Christmas message by Brannon House.
A gentleman invited my wife and I and family out for dinner. So we met him for dinner with his wife at the appointed place, the appointed time. And we had not even gotten seated. He put his hand on my shoulder. This gentleman's in his 80s. He put his hand on my shoulder and he said, "Brannon, what is happening in this world?" He said, "I just don't understand it. Why is God allowing all this?" I smiled at him and I said, "Well, this is going to be a lengthy conversation." His wife, you have to know her, she has smiled. She looked at me, she pointed at him, and she said, "This one," don't you love it, husbands, when your wives do that? She said, "Brannon, this one is not a believer." I said, "Really? We still haven't even taken our seat yet." I said, "Really? Why?" "Oh, Brannon, I just can't grasp the idea that God knows who I am." I said, "What else?" He said, "I really have a hard time with the deity of Christ." I said, "You mean that Jesus was God, Emmanuel, God with us? That's what we're celebrating tonight, right? Emmanuel, God with us." He said, "Yeah, I don't know about that, that idea of deity, fully God, fully man." I said, "Well, I'm guessing then we could just keep adding to the list. You don't believe or have trouble with the idea that the Bible is the authoritative word of God. Or how about the resurrection, the empty tomb?" Yeah. "But those first ones are the biggest." He said, "Let's have a seat." So we sat down. I said, "You've got a list. Most people do. You're not the first person I've talked to like this." I said, "But you know, if I could deal with this one, the deity of Christ, if I could prove to you the deity of Christ and prove to you that Jesus is God, if he's God, then wouldn't it be possible and probable that he knows who you are? If he's God, wouldn't it be true that his word is true? Because if his word isn't true, he's not God. If he's God, wouldn't he be able to raise Christ from the dead? He said, yeah. But how do you know Jesus is God? I said, well, I won't make the point clear. All I need to do is prove one thing to you. Jesus is God. I said, let me do it. I said, have you ever heard of the messianic prophecies? He said, no. I said, well, there are 109 of them. There are over 300 related to Christ. But there are 109 specific messianic prophecies related to Christ alone. I said, if you could fulfill just 20 of these in one person, the number is huge. Just 20. He fulfilled all 109. Mathematically impossible. What are they? What are some of them? Well, the Old Testament said that he would be born of a virgin. The Old Testament said that he would be crucified, that he'd be pierced. The Old Testament told us that he'd be betrayed. How much he'd be betrayed for by Judas and the quantity of those coins. The Old Testament told us that he was innocent. Did you know that even Pilate washed his hands literally of the whole thing and said, I find no fault in this man? Jesus himself said to the skeptic and critic, who finds fault in me? He was a sinless man. They killed an innocent man. The Old Testament said that not a bone in his body would be broken. They came along at the end of the day to finish this off. It was very common with Roman crucifixion to break the individual's legs so they couldn't push themselves up and expand their lungs and gasp for air any longer. They came along to Christ, and he was already dead. They had no reason to break his legs, fulfilling the Old Testament prophet that not a bone in his body would be broken. They shoved a spear in his side and the flowing of blood and water. And Dr. John Witcher here in the front row, medical doctor, can tell you what it means when we have the flowing of blood and water. This means the pericardium or the lining around the heart has been punctured. I said to my friend, even the American Medical Association sometime in the late 80s, did a whole report on this and said it's based on the accounts of what crucifixion is all about, what we find in the historical record, whether it's from the Bible or the ancient Jewish historian Josephus, we can clearly say from medical facts that Christ was dead. Why does this matter? Because if he had simply passed out on the cross and they laid him in a cool tomb where he revived, we have to do away with the swoon theory. And then I explained to him, well, the disciples stole the body. And I explained quickly to him that this is not something likely they would have done with a Roman seal there, which was the death penalty. And if they could get past the guards and one sleeping, are they both sleeping? My friend Josh McDowell found a little parenthetical statement in the Bizet manuscript that when he, Joseph, had put a stone against the tomb, not 20 men could roll it away. It's such a big stone, it would have taken more than the disciples. Their number wasn't big enough. Judas has betrayed him. Their numbers got smaller. Why are they cowering in a room? They believe he's dead. There's no scandal here. As one author says, all of these disciples who became his apostles, of course, Judas betrayed him. John is the exception, the Revelator John. These other men signed their testimony in blood, all of them. Now, what is the probability that all of them would say, we saw the risen Lord? Wouldn't a couple of them, under the threat of torture and death, say, yep, it was a hoax? All of them signed their testimony in blood. They laid down their life. Who dies for a lie? Some people, a lot of people. But who dies for a known lie? I said, you're probably asking in your mind, but Brandon, these prophecies, the 109 messianic prophecies you keep sharing with me, they were written after the life of Christ. That's not hard to do if you write them after the fact. Are you wondering about that? Oh, yeah, I'm wondering about that. I said, you know, the Septuagint, a Greek translation of the original, archaeologists, experts in antiquity, even unbelievers will tell you that these texts were written 250 to 400 years before the birth of Christ. They're not made up. I said, do you know that the skeptic and the critic, the non-believer who is an expert in antiquities, will also tell us that such books, like the book by the prophet Daniel, is, well, of great consternation to them? Because it tells us what kingdoms will come and go. And guess what? They come and they go. And they know, it's a matter of fact, that that book was written at least 400 years before those kingdoms came and went. Which is why skeptics and critics are always trying to drag the book of Daniel 400 years into the future. I said, then I could talk to you about the nation of Israel. It became a nation again in May of 48. Remarkable. The Bible says that they would return to their original form of money, the shekel. They've done that. They would return to their original language, the Hebrew language. Their papers are printed in that. They would become a mighty fighting force. They're one of the greatest military air forces in the world. They buy planes from us, and they rip out a lot of our electronics and put in their own. The Bible says that the deserts of Israel would be as a garden, and they're shipping fruit and flowers to the world. They're harvesting up to 6 crops a season. That's related to the nation of Israel. I said, I could take you through the Bible and show you all kinds of prophecies that we can clearly show were written before they happened. It's a supernatural word written by a supernatural God. And yes, he fulfilled all 109 of those prophecies known as the messianic prophecies because he is Messiah. My friend looked at me, and you have to understand, this is a man who's in his 80s, very successful. He's been around a lot of very famous people, well-known people, well-known business people, sports figures. He's been around a lot of Christians. And his life, based on where he lives, I can promise you, I know for a fact, because I know who some of these people are that have been around him, he has rubbed shoulders with a lot of Christians. And he looked at me, and he said, Brandon, no one has ever told me this. We concluded our conversation, ordered dinner, had our dinner, talked about totally different things. And I thought in my mind, I have no idea where that's going to go. But what a great opportunity. What a great question by him. Why is there so much evil in the world? Why is God allowing these things? And I explained to him, we live in a sinful, fallen world. This is not what God had planned. But God provided a perfect lamb as sacrifice. For those who place their faith and trust in him, it's not by joining a church, how much money you give, it's not by works, lest any man should boast, it's by faith. By faith. And I said, you know, you can sit here and ask me questions, and I can probably answer a lot of them, but at some point you're going to ask me a question I can't answer for you. And the book of Hebrews says it's impossible to please God without faith. At the end of the day, I don't understand the Trinity. But by faith, I believe it to be true. There's a lot of other things I don't fully understand. But I understand enough to know that Jesus was God. The Bible is true. We live in a sinful, fallen world, but this was not his original plan and purpose. There's his perfect will, and then there's his providential will. And yes, God uses the sinful choices of man to accomplish his purpose. And he's even doing it now. With wars and rumors of wars and financial collapse and plagues and pandemics and all the things happening, they're lining up for Bible prophecy to be fulfilled. And revealing once again, we serve a God who's written a supernatural word, the Bible. I explained to him that all he had to do was place his faith and trust in Christ. And I said, and then the Holy Spirit will come and live inside you. And then when you read your Bible, you're now going to understand it with spiritual eyes. The Holy Spirit's job is to help you understand what you're reading and bring it to your memory. It's going to be a whole different book for you. This is one of the joys of being dwelt by the Holy Spirit. Plus, you'll get a spiritual gift, maybe more than one, that you can use for the edification of other believers that we call the church, ecclesia, called out ones. I explained it was only by faith. Faith and repentance. Acknowledging that you cannot save yourself. You have not done enough good. You cannot do enough good. And you know, I know that you and I are not good people. Have we ever told a lie? Yep. How many things do we have to do to be considered a sinner? Just a few, right? And that now is beneath the righteous standard of a righteous judge. I said, it's by faith. And when you do, as a businessman, you ought to understand this. A transaction takes place. When Christ was on the cross, before he died, he cried out, "It is finished." I said, the translation means debt paid in full. Debt paid in full. A transaction took place for those who placed their faith and trust in Christ. All of their sins are forgiven, separated as far as the east is from the west, buried in the depths of the sea to be remembered no more. On judgment day, you will pass from judgment into life. God sees you through his perfect sacrifice, Christ. I said, you're talking about the righteous life of Christ being imputed or credited to your account as though you never sinned. And the sinful life that you and I have lived is credited to Christ as though he lived it, although he did not. He took it on himself on the cross as though he did. And he paid that sin debt. And it took a sinless Savior to do that. And he cried out, "It is finished." Debt paid in full. That's all it takes. That's justification. I said, and then, with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, we move on to sanctification. Ongoing faithfulness and obedience. Indwelled by the Holy Spirit, studying your Bible, being around other Christians, and moving forward, pursuing the righteous life. We're not going to always do that. Romans 6 and 7 tell us we fall, we fail. We battle the old mind, the old flesh, and the new mind. Well, as I said, we finished that conversation, moved on to dinner, never discussed anything like that again the whole night. We got up to leave, and as we did, he put his hand on my shoulder, and he said, "What you shared with me tonight, do you have that on a recording? I'd like to listen to that several times." I said, "Well, you know, in fact, I do." I said, "I actually had the privilege from my friend Tamara Scott, who's a broadcaster with us, she'll be here this weekend." I said, "I had the privilege of Tamara Scott and a few others in Des Moines, Iowa, and around Iowa, inviting me to be the keynote speaker at the 50th annual Iowa Governor's Prayer Breakfast in 2011. And I spoke on the topic of why I'm a Christian. And I explained to many sitting there, a U.S. senator, congressman, the governor, lieutenant governor, who's now the governor, why I'm a Christian. I had the wonderful opportunity to explain that day what I just told you. And yes, I have it in a 30-minute cassette or a 30-minute recording. He said, can I get that? I said, yeah. He said, could I get it in print too? Because I'd like to read it several times. I said, yes. I thought, wow. A few days passed and I got a text. Do you got the recording and the transcript? I said, I do. And I got it to him. Several months went by. And he's busy, I'm busy. And a relative of his came to me and said, I want you to know that my grandfather has told us he's now a Christian. And he says that you answered a lot of questions for him that led him to that point. I said, really? I said, that's tremendous. Well, just this week, my son, my other son, was in a Bible study with him and his wife. And he turned to my son and he said, you do know that it was your father that answered the vital questions for me as to why I'm a Christian now. He said, I'd heard that. But he verbalized it to my son. Everything we've been singing about tonight is about that Messiah. I did explain to him, and I've explained to many others, because they often ask, why did Christ have to live for 33 years? Why couldn't he have just showed up for 33 days, 33 hours? He had to live a sinless life so it could be credited or imputed to my account. And that's why he did it. So when we celebrate the coming of the Messiah, we celebrate the birth, the manger, old little town of Bethlehem, sweet little Jesus boy, away in a manger, all these songs, we're testifying to the truth of Christianity that led us from the cradle to the cross to the empty tomb. I don't know about you. Some of you in this room are definitely older than I am, but I've seen a lot of change and I don't like it. I don't recognize this country. And I feel more and more foreign and alien in this country. And the persecution of Christians is certainly ramping up. And it is so often that I pray for Christ to return and that night shall be no more. And you know, that's exactly how he taught his disciples to pray.
Your support makes programming and productions like this possible. Thank you for your contribution now at WVWFoundation.com. That's WVWFoundation.com. Or by donating over the phone by calling 901-468-9357. That's 901-468-9357. Thank you.
Just seems like we can. Treated you, but listen, forgive us, Lord. We didn't know ago.
sweet little holy child. And we didn't